Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads and Questions and Answers, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Whatever enjoyments are difficult for mortal beings to enjoy, ask them all according to your choice. Take with you these heavenly apsaras, nymphs, with chariots and musical instruments. You can have day and night music, floating music in the sky. Verily, such enjoyments are not attained by human beings of the earth. Be served by them. But do not ask me for the knowledge of the self. Nachiketa's understanding of that self was poor. If he had that immature understanding, he says, "Oh, Yama, what a great thing. Give me all that." Who cares for self-realization? And not so. Yama, Nachiketa says, "Oh Yama, these enjoyments are perishable in nature. Shobhava martyasya yadantat ekatra sarvendriyanam jaryanti teja api sarvam jivitam alpameva tavaiva vaha tavanitta gite." 26th verse of the first section of the first chapter. O Yama, these enjoyments are perishable in nature. Further, they destroy the vigor of the senses and the mind. Enjoyments, the nature of enjoyment, one has to understand. Happiness that people enjoy, that enjoyment is completely shallow. Actually, human happiness is happiness. You are given good food, all delicacies, but in order to enjoy that, you have to have good appetite. If you don't have good appetite, that's a punishment for you. So all enjoyments are dependent upon your senses. Someone gives you wonderful things to see. It all depends upon your eyes. If your eyesight is diminishing, failing, all that enjoyment will be just a kind of sorrowful remembrance. Once upon a time I could see them. Now I can't even know them, where they are. That's what he means by saying they destroy the vigor of the senses and the mind. In addition to this, even the longest life is short. And the idea one can live for a very long time, that the general concept at the mass level, to give blessing to anybody, especially in India, touches the feet of the father, asks blessing. Jio lakh barish. Live out for a million years. Fortunately, the blessing doesn't come out true. What will happen? You watch people. Here comes someone 300 year old. There comes another one 500 year old. And behind the 500 year old, there are 100 generations lined up for making up a project. You have to go 500 steps to come to the great, great, great grandfather. I'm making a joke out of the idea. The idea is ridiculous to live on quality of life is more important than your living on. Many people don't have that understanding, or somehow they lack that discipline to keep the body, mind healthy in a proper way. If you don't do that, body remains healthy, but the mind begins to say goodbye. You become disconnected from your deeper thoughts, your feelings, your aspirations. People look at your body, and a change occurs within yourself. You are not yourself. All this is not new. You have before you medical science that tells you. So therefore, just living on means very little. Even if you live on with all your good health, but if your mind has not been well spiritually disciplined, then all that you are living on is to create more and more illusions. Krishna na jirna vayameva jirna. Craving does not decay. Craving does not age. We, the bodies, go on aging. While the craving youthens. The special term is used in the Upanishads. Svobhava means tomorrow. All things exist until tomorrow. Not day after tomorrow. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. That's what the world is. Things are not going to last forever. You may say, well, why tomorrow? At least it can be 50 years late. But when it happens tomorrow. A figurative way of saying all things are transient. How transient? You can't imagine. Things can go away like magic, including your body. Human beings cannot be satisfied with wealth. What need have we for wealth when we have seen thee? Two types of implications. Anyone who has earned a vast store of wealth and hardly he wants to enjoy it, he sees death. That's one implication. Another wise person like Nachiketa, having the possibility of enjoying all that glory, but also has found a teacher who can give him Brahmavidya, knowledge of Brahman. So having found a teacher who can resolve the mystery of death, will not let the soul enter into the cycle of birth and death. A patient having gone to the very advanced doctor, he wants the doctor to do, remedy his most serious disease. He doesn't go there just for a tooth shake and correct it. So Nachiketa says, having found you, I want the cure of the disease of the world process, birth and death. Human beings cannot be satisfied with wealth. What need have we for wealth? We have seen thee. For we live here only as long as your rule sanctions. Therefore, that boon alone is chosen by me. Again, all that Yama has promised seems like a very generous, but behind that there is a very tragic intention. All that he is giving, he is one day, he is going to take them away, snap them out of you. So Nachiketa persists in knowing the self, and we enter into the second section of the first chapter, and now opens up Atmavidya, the knowledge of the self. Anyat shreyonyat duttaiva preya te ubhe nanarthe purusham sinitaha tato tayoha shreya adadanasya sadhu भवति होयतेर्थाद्य उप्रेयो विनीते. वन इज श्रेया व्हाइल द अदर इज प्रेया. श्रेया मीन्स गुड, प्रेया इज प्लेजेंट. बोथ गिव राइज टू डिफरेंट फ्रूट्स एंड ड्रॉ पीपुल टू themselves. Out of these two, Shreya leads one to what is good. But one who chooses what is pleasant, Preya, loses the true goal of life. Two choices are there for every individual. Shreya and Preya. To give you in a very allegorical way, when you walk out, you have two choices. Up in the sky, there is the sun. You can look up to the sun and the grandeur of the sky. Another choice, illuminations created by the sun. At a distance, there is a rainbow. Another place, water is shimmering. In another place, there may be just a dewdrop gleaming. And another place, a peacock unfurling all its wings, dazzling show. Don't go after too much of the allegorical description. The point is, your attention should go after the sun. Because all things that are happening on the earth are because of the sun. But if you went after the illuminations, they are transient. You go after the rainbow and the rainbow is not there. By the time you go there, rainbow is gone. All things in the world that shine by the sun, the illumination is countless. All experiences that come to you through your mind, through your intellect, through your ego, the real experience is awareness. That's like the sun. Now, but the sun is operating, the rays of the sun is coming through different layers. It comes through the layer of your intellect. And you have a different reality, reality about so many things you understand, you know. Then it flows through your mind. And you are now gripped by the reality of your feeling, your sentiments, your attachments. It flows through your senses and you are gripped with the reality of things that you see, perceive, touch, enjoy. But all that you are experiencing, should you live your life to be caught in these planes, plane of intellect, plane of mind, plane of senses, or should you be after the source, I am the sun. Be the sun, realize you are the sun, then all these illuminations are yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All else shall be added unto you. All else should be added unto you is just saying, if you have the sun, all the rainbows are yours, take them. Shreya and Preya, I'll just give you a highly mystical story in the Mahabharata. At the time when Pandavas and Kauravas were ready to fight against each other, that stage of the story implies your personality has brought about a clear distinction between the higher self and the lower self. Is related to both. God has created your whole personality, higher and lower. Arjuna, representing the higher self, goes to Krishna for help. Duryodhana, representing the lower self, goes also to Krishna. This story dramatizes it in a very artistic way. Duryodhana goes first because he is too eager to get the help from Krishna. And when he goes into Krishna, where Krishna lies down and he pretends that is his own plan, Duryodhana goes there instead of a humbling city sitting by the feet, he takes a couch towards the head of Krishna and sits with great ego. Arjuna goes a little later, and he occupies place by the feet of Krishna. Krishna all the while is sleeping. But then suddenly Krishna wakes up, looks at Arjuna, who is representing the higher self, and says, "Arjuna, what do you want?" Before Arjuna could say anything, Duryodhana says, "Oh Krishna, I have been here before this." So Krishna says, "Oh, you are also there. What has led you to come here?" And Duryodhana says, "We are all related to you. So in this coming war, I want your help." To cut the story short, Krishna says that I'm going to help you both. On one side, I will give Narayani Sena, a vast army that belongs to me, will help you. On the other side, I will be alone. I will not use any weapon. A single-handed personality. So choose between the two. But the choice will be first made by Arjuna." Duryodhana shook in his boots. Arjuna asked, "O Lord, what will I do with all that army of yours? I need you. You become the driver of my chariot. And that's all I want." Duryodhana had such a relief. To Duryodhana's mind, so all that big army meant all. And Krishna, without any effectiveness of his presence, without using weapons, etc., what can he do? Sit there in his chariot. So Duryodhana didn't consider that a tremendous blessing. That's the path of Shreya. Arjuna views Krishna as the blessing, the greatest. Shreya. Duryodhana views the big army of God. That's called prayer. The mind that's highly purified goes after Shreya, that which is the source of all joy. A movement that will allow you to possess all great qualities, Daivi Sampat. Otherwise, you are choosing prayer, things that are pleasant to you, and you are led by your fancy, controlled by your senses. In a process, you become a slave to your own mind and senses. A chariot that is driven by wild horses and a drunk driver. And one who is driving is texting God. Choose out of the two. Prayer. And with this I conclude. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Amiti, if a soul acquires good karmas and they don't attain enlightenment, do they necessarily have to delay and have the experience of heaven before re-embodiment to continue their journey towards realization?
As long as one is not enlightened, one has to be born. In between the death and born is a dream-like experience. Just like no matter how good karma you have done, when you go to sleep, that good karma reflects in your dream. In your dream, you have eating ice cream or negative karma. But those, just like dream, gives you experiences before you wake up. In the same way, after death, it's like a big sleep. Before you wake up into another embodiment, you have dream-like experience of positive or negative. If it is positive, it is called heaven. Negative, it is called hell. But the soul can't get out of it until it is liberated.
I have a question on Ramayana. There is one moment that always were confusing me when Sugriva asking to help with to deal with his brother Vali, and Rama decides that Sugriva will trick him out and he shoots at him with his arrow, and not challenging instead of just regular combat, but choosing to do something that seems like dishonorable.
All scriptural writings are allegorical. Sugriva represents higher self. Bali represents lower self. The lower self is overpowered. Purity in the unconscious. Rama's being in the bushes is unconscious. When unconscious has been purified, Rama's arrow comes from the unconscious and shoots down Bali. So it is never a direct confrontation. Great things happen within you in an indirect way. You purify your mind, unconscious has changed. Now the unconscious shoots a process that changes your practical world. So that one point. Another point, in the beginning, first to combat with Bali, Sugriva was to Rama. Rama says, both of you looked alike. And in order to cure that alike possibility, he gives a garland to Sugriva, implying if your higher self has developed the divine qualities, then it has become distinguished from the lower self. Once that has happened, now Bali has become vulnerable to Rama's arrow. So it is not a real face-to-face fight.
Thank you, Swamiji. I know the soul has no gender, but do you keep reincarnated in the same sex, or do you...
No. Soul has no gender. And even from a practical point of view, men and women, sometimes women are more men than women. Sometimes men are more women than men. That showing, but once it's karma that has decided which body is most suitable. So karmically you get either the male body or the female body. And that's not permanent. Soul led by karma will go on changing the sexes. If nature has made any confusion, then the science can make you changes.
Thank you, Swamiji. I have one more question.
Yes.
Can an animal reincarnate into a human being?
All souls are rays of God. Animal embodiment. Try to understand embodiments. Bodies are like residences, houses. Suppose you come from somewhere and come to Miami, and you don't have money enough to buy a progressive house, up-to-date house, that has old style. Similarly, the soul enters a body depending upon its karmic need, the need of its evolution. As a human being, if a person has done certain karma, created certain karma that requires animal embodiment like hospitalization. In one embodiment, you are a human being. Next embodiment, you can be a dog, a cat, a lion, and who don't like them, you can be a giraffe. You can be any. But after that embodiment, you come back to human embodiment. In other words, don't think of if you became an animal, now you have to go through a whole process of evolution. The monkey has to go on rubbing off his tail until he becomes a human being. That's a story of body. This evolution of residence, this evolution of the houses, that follows a science. It has a sequence. But for soul to enter any body, it follows karma. And movement to animal embodiment is like hospitalization. Because as animal now, you no longer have the dimension of worry and anxiety as human beings have. That's what hospital does, you see. Takes you away from normal worries and anxieties. And having finished your karma there, you get back to human embodiment. So therefore the soul has all flexibility to become human, become extremely little, can become extremely great, until it becomes liberated.
Thank you, Swamiji. I have one more question, I promise. That. God, we're all equal. God doesn't judge the murderer from the regular person. How is it so? Could you please give me more on that? Thank you, Swamiji.
That's wrong. Make this statement again.
I'm being told that God does not make the difference between the murderer and the regular, or is it not? The what? Oh, the victim. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Caroline. The victim. Can you tell me more about it?
It means God has lost his mind.
Excuse me?
God has lost his mind. No, I'm joking. But what else? You need to understand, when they say God is always same to all, that's like advanced mathematics, a transcendental reality. But that does not mean that in your practical world, things are put in equal status. If you have done a negative karma, God is after you until you pay back that negative karma. If you done positive karma, God is going to give you positive result. But if you are in an advanced level, then you can be one with God. To put in another way, if you have so many buckets with water, out in the sun, you see the sun reflected in all the buckets. Philosophical statement, sun is equal to all. But look into the bucket. In one where water is muddy, sun hardly glows. In another, water is shaky and the sun is shaky. Then we can ask, if the sun is fair to all, why he is creating all these changes? The reality, sun is not doing that. Sun is shining over all with absolute impartiality. But different contents of the bucket, the minds are not the same. If the mind is purified in your heart, if mind is filled with bitterness, God himself becomes with twisted eyes.
Thank you, Swamiji.